Right. Sorry to keep.
We've got some volume tonight and echo.
And echo.
No, it hasn't worked.
There is.
Yeah. Is that better then? Yes. You can still hear me, okay? Right. Sorry. Sorry to keep you waiting a few minutes, but we're ready to kick off now. Emergency evacuation procedure. We've got escape routes at the back and the front of the room. I think you all, I can't see any strangers. Everybody knows where the toilets are, and drink of water out there if anybody else wants some. Apologies for absence.
Chairman, apologies from Councillor Val Arnold.
And that's it, is it? Lovely, thank you. So can we move on to the minutes of the last meeting, which start on page 3 of your agenda. Would someone like to move those as a correct record?
I will.
Thank you. Would someone second those? Thank you, John. Right. Can we vote on those then, please? Does help if you turn them off.
Chairman, that's unanimous.
Thank you. So our next item is item 4, the recommendations from the Resources Working Party held on the 10th of November, which is on pages 7 to 10 of your agenda.
Question, Chairman.
Right.
Yeah. Can you confirm that none of the grants that are recommended are made out of Section 106 monies for Moulton and Norton?
I can confirm that, Paul. And it makes a noise like that. Does that go on the recording?
Yes.
All right. Okay, then. Does anybody have any questions on those before we move on to the recommendation? Right. In that case, then, I'd like to ask you to agree the recommendations for the grant allocations and to note the rest of the minutes. I'll move that from the chair. Would someone like to second that? Thank you. Steve? Would anybody like to speak on any of those? Thank you. Right, we'll vote on that then.
Chairman, that's 7 votes for and 1 abstention.
Thank you very much. I've no urgent business tonight. There's just one thing I would like to mention to you. On the 7th of December, the business for the members' briefing has been changed. And it, instead of being about the new housing legislation, it's going to be on Section 106, which seems to be quite a popular topic around the council at the moment. So if you'd like to make sure you've got that in your diaries. Thank you. Declaration. Oh, yes, John.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Just one thought in relation to that is, when are we going to move the housing? Where are we moving the housing to? Because of massive impact in the housing legislation changes happening at the moment.
Yes, as soon as all the legislation is confirmed, and I think there's been more, hasn't there, in this week, then we will be bringing that back. Don't worry, we will slot an extra one in so that we are brought up to date on that. Declarations of interest, then. No declarations of interest. So the Next item is item 7 on page 11 of your agenda, which is the revenue budget monitoring. Peter.
Thank you, Chair. Before we get onto the report itself, I'd just like to take this opportunity to let members know that we've received formal confirmation from DCLG that we're now on the four-year funding settlement, which members agreed to in July, linked to our efficiency statement. And the settlement was taken up by 97% of councils. I'm sure you are all aware that the autumn statement was announced yesterday, and although the government did announce extra capital funding for house building, there was little mention in terms of local authority core funding, and we'll need to wait till next month when the provisional finance settlement's announced to get further information in terms of our core funding, particularly around the impact of business rates valuation and the outcome of the new homes bonus consultation. So back to the budget monitoring report itself. The report picks up the budget monitoring information provided to resources, to each resources working party, which focuses on the main areas of revenue, expenditure and income. This report also brings in any additional other budget issues that we know about. The financial information is contained within the annex on page 13 of the agenda, and column 4 of the annex highlights the current budget variation to the end of September, and column 5 highlights the forecast full year variation based on the information in front of you. A bracketed figure represents a positive variance and vice versa. There are no significant adverse issues to report against the revenue budget approved in February, other than the costs associated with legal and planning consultancy fees, which are significantly above budget and are mainly associated with the defence of a planning appeal for a development on Langton Road in Norton. Overall, income is on target at the mid-year point. However, there are a few discrepancies within that. Development management fees and trade waste income are both below target at the mid-year point. Within the report, I've also included the additional areas of spend agreed by members in July for redundancy and transformation costs. These are matched by movements in reserves at lines 22 and 23. The actual spend in column 4 on voluntary redundancy represents the committed cost to date, and we'll have a much clearer picture of the total cost of redundancy when we get into the new year. I'm happy to take any questions members may have.
I'm just going to jump in with a question first of all, if I may. You mentioned a £90,000 variance, and where will that be funded from, Peter?
At this point in time, if you look at Annex A on page 13, I funded that from the General Reserve. Something we need to look at when we get towards the end of the year, when we get a better picture of the final financial position. But typically, any budget surplus or deficit, any budget deficit, we've taken from the General Reserve.
Oh, yes, I see, on line 21. Sorry. Paul.
Yeah, Langton Road legal fees, Chairman, how much were they?
Peter.
That's a very good question. I should have the answer with me, but I haven't, so let members have a written response on that.
I've seen legal. I may be looking at the wrong document, but I've seen legal fees, profile budget £6,400, actual to date £49,700. I can't believe that. Have we really spent £40,000 on briefing council to get for a planning inquiry?
A significant proportion of it is to do with the planning inquiry. There are other things in there, but I can let members have a breakdown of that figure.
I think it might be useful, Chairman, because, Chairman, you can remember the bad old days, can't you, when the council solicitor actually had to do his own planning inquiries, and it cost the council just the council solicitor's fees. It's about 12 or 15 a year. And some thought needs to be given if we're really paying this sort of fees for one planning inquiry for just 100 houses, and really ought to start thinking about whether or not we could perhaps employ and engage our own specialised planning solicitor.
thought is being given to that, Paul? Well, not that specifically, but to legal issues. Any more questions for Peter? No? In that case, we'll move the recommendation on page 11, which is that members note the content of the report. Would someone like to second that? Thank you, Steve. Does anybody want to speak on anything? John.
Thank you, Chair. Earlier on this year, we were told that the IEZ and the redundancy things were all agreed earlier in the year at the budget meeting. And here we find that the cost of voluntary redundancy is nil, and the cost of transformation is nil in the budget figures. Now that gives me the impression that we didn't intend at that point to spend any money on transformation or any money on voluntary redundancies. And then we look across to the forecast for the full year now, we're looking at 1.2 million on voluntary redundancy and 400,000 on cost of transformation. So we end up at the bottom, or we end up before we get to that point with line 8, a overspend of 1.69 million. And the explanation in the paperwork is that members will be aware there is a projected deficit of the revenue budget in 6.4 of 90,000. Now, we could have got rid of that as well, really, if we just decided that we were going to pull another 90,000 out from somewhere else. The deficit in relation to the budget is 1.69 million. And if it isn't, then can somebody in the controlling group tell me why it is not that figure and why it is the 90 figure? Nothing wrong with Pete's arithmetic here at all. And politically we were told, Pete didn't say what I'm saying now, politically we were told, oh, it was all decided. And I got some very strange reactions from the peer group review when I was asking about expenditure. And they said, well, why didn't you raise it in the budget in relation to IEZ and in relation to redundancy? Oh, because the subject wasn't in the budget. They looked at me in complete and utter disbelief. We've now got it here. Budget zero, actual 1.6 million. Do we have an explanation, please, Chair?
I think, John, you will recall that it was the subject of a decision by this council that we transfer 1.2 million plus 400,000, and that's what balances the books because members agreed to do that transfer between reserves. So which bit don't you understand?
Oh, I understand how we're going to make it balance, but in relation to the budget that we drew up this last spring, that budget, when there was every intention to spend that sort of money, one and a half, 2 million, the process was already started when we drew the budget up. But nothing said, nothing mentioned. And now here, by agreeing in later in the year that we will put 1.6 million into the pot, we've only got a deficit of 90,000. Technically correct, politically, and in terms of making it open to the public, 1.6 million out. Thank you, Chair.
There is a £90,000 overspend on the revenue budget.
Yes.
The 1.2 million and the 400,000 are sums of money which members agreed in order to fund the transformation of this council. the reorganisation. Had we not agreed that, the reorganisation wouldn't have gone ahead. It couldn't have done.
I'm sorry, Chair. No. That is still 1.6 million on the budget. We've shovelled some 1.6 million in July. We agreed to do that.
Yes, we did.
But that doesn't make the budget balanced now. That means the budget is overshot by 1.69 million and we've put in 1.6 million so that it isn't overshot by that amount. If that's open and straight and above board and we decided it last February in the budget, then we must have decided it last February in the budget. But the budget figures for last February here are 0.0 and 0.0.
Budgets are always subject, John, to decisions that members make throughout the year. We might suddenly decide that we want to spend £500,000 on some other project, and that will change the budget again. We shall move, say, £500,000 out of New Homes Bonus Reserve to pay for flooding work or something like that, and then that would change the budget again. So, you know, it is correct. Members have made those decisions, and it shows you on that page what it is funding. Does anybody else want to speak on this item? John.
I see where Councillor Clark's coming from, but we had this argument, or elements of this argument, in full council when we actually took that decision that you're referring to take monies from one particular pot to spend it in another area. I think the criticism is we started off with a zero budget on that heading, which and the problem is with the local authorities. You start off in most of the disciplines with a zero budget, and you find out what you need to spend as you're going along, and then you find out and try to source the funding to service that requirement as you're going along. It's nothing new. It's nothing different. It's nothing unusual in the way that councils run their affairs. What we're interested in is do the sums add up at the end of the day. And so long as they do, there can't be much of a problem.
Budgets will always change subject to member decisions made in year. Does anybody else wish to speak? Right, can we move to the vote then, please? You can.
Chairman, that's 6 votes for, 2 against and 1 abstention.
Thank you very much. If we could now move on to the update on the homelessness strategy, and I always find that difficult to say. Kim.
Thank you, Chair. Members will be aware that we agreed our homeless strategy last year, 2015, which will take us to 2020. This is the requirement to report back to members on an annual basis as to how we're doing against the targets we put in there. I've included in the report the key objectives that still remain within that strategy, and I've included the original strategy with a column on the right-hand side to provide members with an update as to how we're doing to meet the priorities within there. There's nothing major changing at the moment. I've put some information in about the homeless reduction bill that we expect to be enforced next year. As soon as we know any more, we will inform members. No financial implications at the moment. And have members got any questions?
Any questions for Kim? In that case, I'd just like to... John, you go first then.
Yeah, just leapt out at me at the moment. We've accepted 16 Syrian refugees. Do you know where they were located and how are they doing?
Sure, Kim can answer that.
We have accepted 16 as a percentage of the 90 that, no, the 200 that's going to be rehoused across North Yorkshire. We expect them to arrive in Rydale during 17-18, contracted for between April and July. So we're working on finding accommodation for them at the moment. Areas such as Harrogate, Craven and Selby have already taken some refugees on, and the programme's been working well. Any further details anybody requires, as we get them, we can let members know.
I had seen that a flyer had gone out asking for people to volunteer to take people in. Have we got any further update on that, please?
We haven't been sending flyers out. There's two elements to this. This Syrian resettlement programme is for 16, and it's not 16 families, it's 16 Syrians. And these will be households, so these will be families. There is an additional scheme which the county council are running for 90 unaccompanied asylum seekers. So they are requesting for additional foster carers and placements. That's different to the scheme that the council's involved in, where it will be households and it will be families. So we're probably looking at about 3 to 4 families in Rydale.
Thank you.
Thank you. I just quickly want to say thank you to Kim for the way the update is presented. It's really easy to look at, really good information. So thank you very much. If I could move the recommendation, which is that members note the update. Second that, thank you. And then could we vote on that, please? Oh, sorry, Paul, did you want to speak?
Could I just join you, Chairman? Could I just join you in thanking him? It is a very thorough and well prepared report.
Thank you, Paul. We move to the vote, please. Thank you, Kim.
Chairman, that's unanimous.
Thank you very much. So next we're on page 65 of your agenda. I hope that isn't me. Oh, good. Page 65, delivering the council plan. Claire, are you doing this one? Yep.
Thank you, Chairman. This is really an information item for members. You'll be used to seeing the delivering the council plan report. Following the corporate peer challenge and also feedback from members at earlier presentations of this report, I'm starting the review of the council plan effectively with this to get you thinking about that. I know members had said that they would like to see maybe a different way of presenting information, maybe different information, but also that they wanted us to actually do that review of the council plan. What I've stated in the report, I'm still actually flicking through the housing report. I'll be there in a minute. There's quite a lot of it. There we are. What I've put in the report, you'll note, is that we'll actually, Pete and I are going to work together through the member briefing sessions on the development of the budget to actually look at reviewing the council plan at the same time, because that is something that came out quite clearly from the corporate peer challenge. We've done it before a few years ago. We can do it again. We can use that time with members around the budget to also look at what our priorities are so that we can make sure that alignment is there for that process. So the two attachments that you've got here, one of them is the standard format we use at the moment, which is generated from Covalent. And members, I'm happy to take feedback from members on this, or members can email me afterwards. That's really not a problem. Any feedback on this, appreciated. Any thoughts you have on it following this meeting. So really this is just to begin this process and to get you thinking about it. And then the second, I'm happy to take questions on that in detail in a moment. And then also attached is the position statement that we prepared as part of the Corporate Peer Challenge, just to give you an example of a different way that we can actually tell the story of our performance. The requirements for preparing these are really quite different, but we can, whatever members' preference is, we can work with that, and we can find an efficient way of doing that. So it was really just, I just included both there to show members two different approaches to actually presenting the story of our performance, just to begin you thinking really about this. So I'm happy to take any questions or to take any feedback on preferences members may have, but I will be picking this work up again with you, so it's really just to start that process as well.
Paul.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman. We've had a sort of summary of the outcome of the Corporate Peer Challenge. Have we had the final report yet?
No, we haven't.
When is that going to be discussed?
Well, we haven't received it yet.
Yeah.
So,
can I just ask a question, Chairman? I mean, in view of the criticism that was expressed about the way we carry on our business in this chamber, how many of those members of that group came from committee? Based authorities, and how many came from executive style authorities? I'd like that information, please.
I
have to say I was very disappointed with that with what they said about members.
I'll happily provide members with a profile of all of the peers that were part of the team and the makeup of what their governance arrangements are.
On page 84, we've got balanced budgets from 11-12, 12-13, 13-14, all the way through. What does that mean? Does it mean the budget was balanced at the beginning of the year and stayed balanced throughout, or that in any one of these years it went down the tubes to the odd million or two here and there and we had to shovel some money in to make it balanced? Does it mean balanced all the way through, or just balanced when we kicked off?
It means that we delivered a balanced budget in February when we set the budget.
So on that basis, we've absolutely no clue from what it says here, and that is my understanding of the technical phrase of a balanced budget. It is absolutely meaningless when you've got in front of us here that it was balanced in February and 1.69 million out now. And that isn't in relation to the officers' judgments. That's the politicians who didn't realise that we were going down a route of spending 1.69 million. Thank you, Chair.
I'll have to come back on that, John. Members made a considered decision to spend that money in order to facilitate the transformation of this council. Members will always make in-year decisions which affect the budget. Not necessarily the revenue budget, which is about the running of the council, but members can make decisions to spend money that will increase the budget, but they will also make decisions about where those changes to spending are funded from. You understand it perfectly. I know how clever a man you are, and I know that you understand it. What you're trying to do is make a political statement that the Conservatives have decided to spend 1.6 million on the transformation of this council. That decision was made because we wish Rydale District Council to continue.
And Chair, I'm sorry, you appear to be missing the point. I understand what you're saying. The controlling group did decide to do that. But the controlling group decided in February to have a balanced budget with no prediction. A budget is what you intend to spend. With no clue about going to spend 1.6 million, because if you had a clue that you were going to spend 1.6 million, then that should have been in the balanced budget. It wasn't in the balanced budget. Your guidance to council, and hence instructions to the officer, was that nothing would be spent on transformation, nothing would be spent on redundancy, and it didn't turn out anything like that. And on this same basis here, to say that each of these years, which was my point here, is not what you've just done. You went down that route. I'm saying each of this year was a balanced budget when it kicked off. But if it went wrong by hundreds of thousands during the year, or didn't, that's the important factor. And if you think that we were going to spend, didn't know anything about spending 1.6 million this year, why not? And if you did know about spending 1.6 million in this year, why did you not put it into the budget that you put to this council in February?
The budget that was put to this council in February was a revenue budget to run this council and its services. It wasn't a budget which included the cost of transformation, because we didn't know at that time what it was going to cost.
With due respect, Chair, we'd already appointed IEASY to take us down this transformation route, and the IEASY paperwork before the budget was talking about redundancies, recruitment, what was needed, how we would transform the council. The whole lot was known.
There has to be a starting point, John.
Yes, and that's the budget, Chair.
Well, I'm not going to argue with you about it tonight. You've had two or three goes at it now. Right, have we any further questions? Did I move the recommendation? I forgot. No more questions. Right, in that case, we'll move the recommendation. Would someone second that, please? Thank you. Would anybody like to speak on this item now? John.
Just very quickly, Chairman. By 2020, we were trying to save 1.1 million from our overall budget that we have been or would have spent if we hadn't transformed. So we're shrinking the council in the office department and in the management of that office department without affecting frontline services. I disagree and challenge the concept from Councillor Clark that starting off not knowing how much it's going to cost, we did not know at the time when we started this how much it was going to cost, because we asked for a report to be brought forward to actually inform us what we needed to spend and where and when. And that came through the year, where then we did make the decisions to service that requirement to get to that point so that we could actually achieve a 1.1 million by 2020. We haven't got to 2020 yet. I'm still hopeful that we're going to get to that 1.1 million, but we've got to spend this 1.6 in the meantime to get to where we're going to go to furnish it, so it makes savings further down the line. And our greatest cost has always been our wage bill, and we're looking down around to trying to trim that down as best we can without impacting on the people that we serve and we're here to serve in the delivery of the services that we provide. So we're having to spend the money to achieve that, and I think it's a little bit naughty to go and try and to muddy the waters on that fact and to say that starting with a zero is being not fair. We're trying to be extremely fair and equitable in all departments for everybody concerned, not only for council but ultimately for our public that we serve.
Does anybody else wish to speak? Joy.
Thank you. Just in reply to Councillor Raper's statement, I just don't understand, if we had nothing in the budget, did we think IEASY were going to do it out of the goodness of their heart? Why wasn't there just sort of a ballpark figure in there, something in there, just to sort of, so we can see that we have plans. We knew that it was coming. There was nothing in there. It was zero. The estimate was nothing. But we knew that it was coming. That's what I just don't understand.
Can I just refer you back to a meeting of PNR on the 4th of February 2016, which you might like to look up, Joy, at some time, And it says the budget as proposed includes an additional £289,000 in new homes bonus receipts and uses an additional £325,000 of the 2016-17 new homes bonus to support the revenue budget and £188,000 to fund the shortfall on the capital programme. So, yeah, it did start before that. Could we move to the vote now? Paul?
It's just a point, Chairman, because one of my relatives is actually, you know, quite a high powered officer in a big metropolitan council in the south.
One of your relatives. Right.
And he was telling me this weekend that his council had managed to get loads and loads of money through European funding, and that they were really struggling and under huge pressure to get as much as they possibly could within the next 2 years, and in that way they succeeded in making their budget balance, as they do down there, in many, many millions, hundreds of millions. And I'm just wondering, Chairman. I know we're up against the wall. Our services are in trouble, and I don't accept that you can carry on delivering the same level of service with fewer staff. I don't accept that at all. But I'm just wondering if some thoughts could be given to trying to get some European funding during the next 2 years while we've still got it, to see if we can tide us over a bit.
I'm not aware of any European funding, Paul, that can be used for revenue purposes, but one thing I am certain of, if there is any European funding that can be used for revenue purposes, then there will be officers in this council who are after it, because one thing they are really good at is finding money.
Could it be looked at? The reason why I come back to it, Chair, is because I remember from way back that there used to be an officer in the county council whose sole job was to help district councils and as well as the county council get a European funding, and I'm just wondering if that system is still in being, whether it's still being used, if it's not, what could be done to revitalise it or to look at it seriously, because it may well be a way of correcting any budget any budget deficiencies or service deficiencies, as the case may be.
Next time I see Carl Les, I will ask him that question, if such an officer still exists. But perhaps you could ask your relative which particular European fund they got the money from, which that would be really interesting.
I'll see what I can do, Chairman.
Thank you. Could we move to the vote now then, please?
Chairman, that's 6 votes for, 2 against and 1 abstention.
You certainly can. So we'll move on to the second part of our agenda tonight, which is the Part B items, which will be referred to full council for final decision. And the first item, 10, is localisation of council tax support. Page 87 of your agenda. Peter.
Thank you, Chair. I'll start with a very quick apology. The paragraph numbering isn't what it should be within the report. Make sure that it's correct going forward. The Council is required to set a local scheme of council tax support on an annual basis, and this is the fifth year since introduction of a local scheme following the withdrawal of council tax benefit. The recommendation before members tonight is that we retain the scheme that we've had in place since the inception of the local scheme, whereby working age benefit recipients receive a maximum of 91.5% in council tax support and are therefore required to pay a minimum of 8.5% of their council tax liability. The table at paragraph 6.7 highlights the current and proposed schemes for other North Yorkshire districts and the collection rates for this class of claimant at the end of last financial year, and that's where it's been available. Officers have undertaken a consultation on the new scheme for 17-18 and received 43 responses, which is a significant increase on last year when we received no responses. We also put some extra publicity in place and it seems to have paid dividends. A summary of the responses is included from pages 91 to 98 of the agenda, and the consultation responses generally align with the recommendations within this report. So collection rates have increased slightly between 15 and 16 for this class of benefit recipient from 82 to 86%, and this is compared with an overall collection rate of 98.6% for council tax. The financial benefit to the council of reducing support further from 91.5% to say 80% is around £10,000, although this change would have a much larger benefit for North Yorkshire County Council. And reducing support could have a negative impact on collection rates going forward. As part of the recommendation on page 87 of the agenda, we've also taken the opportunity to align our local scheme with changes to the housing benefit regime. The primary purpose for doing this is to maintain a uniform approach to processing claims, both for housing benefit and local council tax support claimants. And the changes only apply to new claims from April 2017 and don't impact on pension age customers. I've got Marcus Lee with us tonight, who's the Revs and Bens team leader. And between us, we'll try and answer any questions you may have. But if we can't, we'll make sure you receive an answer in advance of full council. Happy to take any questions, Chair.
John.
Thank you, Chair. 6.7, Pete, the table on recipient collection. Why is Scarborough not applicable, or have I misunderstood something?
It means not available, John.
Yeah, it's supposed to be not available, John. It wasn't available at the time.
However, but you hope you're not waiting then on not available for Craven, or are you saying that they just haven't let you have the figures yet, or they're not doing it?
They haven't let us have the figures.
Fine, yet. Thank you.
Any further questions? Right, in that case, I will move the recommendations on page 87, and I am not going to read them all out. Would someone like to second them? Thank you. Would anybody like to speak on this? Right, we'll move to the vote then.
Chairman, that's 8 votes for and 1 abstention.
Thank you very much. So we'll move now on to the scrutiny review of the role of the council in flood management, which is on pages 99 to 122 of your agenda. Claire.
Thank you, Chairman. We do have a number of members of the Overview and Scrutiny Committee here tonight, and Councillor Dyke is here. So I'll just initially present the report and then we'll take it from there, if that's okay. It's here in front of you, and the recommendations are within the report, and I won't read them all out. But the review began when the motion came to council at the beginning, and that was the start of this process. I'm actually just looking for the motion so I can read it out.
Some page from the
thank
motion.
You. Yeah. So the motion was as follows: in the light of recent floods, we call upon the council to commit reserves to install permanent pumps at Broadby, Old Malton and Castlegate and Malton Church Street. Sorry, Malton and Church Street, Norton. I'm not sure if that's typed quite correctly, but anyway.
Castlegate, Malton and Church Street, Norton.
Norton, thank you. It was the slash that was confusing me there. Sorry, I read that very badly. So that was the start point for the review, and that was considered at each of the meetings. That was kind of the start point for the work that we were doing. We met with the as a task group on a number of occasions, and it was interesting actually as we approached the completion of this review that the EFRA committee actually put their recommendations out, and there was a lot of alignment actually that came out after we'd actually issued the report. So I think members were quite pleased with the work was actually in alignment with the work that was been done by that committee as well. But I think what was clear regarding the motion was, and following discussion at the scrutiny committee meetings, that there was a consensus that the funding of permanent pumps was not really the right solution, as per the notice on motion to council, that wouldn't be the best solution for flood alleviation. So what the recommendations have done is the members have tried to come up with a set of recommendations to actually enable solutions to happen in the hands of local communities, so that the funding can be there and that the local communities can work on community resilience plans, work with county council, work with the partners, but also get some funding from the council to actually go in as much funding on those community-led solutions. I'm happy to try and take any questions, or as I say, members of the scrutiny panel are here, the scrutiny committee are here as well. So that was it, really. Paul?
I had hoped that Becky Bennett would be here, but I mean, what I'd like to know is what is the capacity of the pumps that the mobile pumps that we used to pump out Old Moulton last year? There were seven pumps, and can you remember what the capacity is?
I can't tell you that.
That's unfortunate, because my next question would be relate to the actual cost of the pumps and the capacity that is needed.
We have discussed this, actually. I know capacity of pumps has been discussed at the task group, and I am aware, because I was there and I've spoken to Becky about this as well, is that for the types of pumps that you would require, and that we have already, I don't think we have seven. I think we have a small...
There were seven installed. There were seven.
So of the size of pumps that are there, are present, for a new one of those pumps, that is approximately 20,000, and for a second-hand reconditioned pump is between £5,000 and £10,000.
And that is for the type that were actually used as mobile pumps during that flood period.
Yes.
So you need seven of those to pump out that area.
There is a pump plan.
Okay.
Can I just take Danny first, John?
And just to add to that, I think. Sorry,
thank you.
Sorry, that's better. There were seven pumps at Old Moulton, but altogether last year there were 22 deployed right across Moulton, Norton, and Old Moulton. So it's actually quite a lot more pumps that we require as part of that pump plan.
John.
Thank you, Chair. I thought my hearing had started to fail me. I'll ignore the obvious question of did the EFRA committee consider the pumps, because I'm not totally convinced of how much of parallel that was. Have I missed it, or where does it say in here your comment of, in effect, taking your adequate paragraph down, no pumps? Where does it say the answer to the question from the motion is no pumps?
That was the purpose of this report, is to actually put a different set of recommendations forward, because the cost effectiveness of the funding of permanent pumps was discussed through that review.
Thank you, Chair. Supplementary, I fully understand your logic. Sorry.
The funding for permanent pumps is in the region of the scheme for Moulton, Norton and Old Moulton. That's for permanent pumps, which is what the motion was about. The motion was about permanent pumps, not the temporary pumps that we've just been discussing. So in the review, the point I'm making is that we discussed the permanent pumps. The permanent pump solution is within the recommendation for the scheme, which is referred to as the Moulton and Norton and Old Moulton study. And that's in the recommendation, because that's about permanent pumps. The discussion then was about actually trying to help the communities that might have other solutions, and that was around the temporary pumps, the mobile pumps, that communities could actually access funding for.
Supplementary, Chair. Then clearly it may need some rewording. If you're saying that you're going to get the pumps that are in the original motion, it needs to say that in nice clear black and white. And if they're not going to get the pumps that are asked for in the original motion, it needs to say nice and clearly no pumps as in the original request. But because I don't understand, and I've read this several times, whether it's yesing or knowing to the original motion. What am I missing? If I'm missing something, that's fine, but it could be not me that's misunderstanding. It could be the wording that's not getting the message across properly. Don't know which.
So the motion where we began the review was asking for permanent pumps in those locations, and there is a plan to get permanent pumps in most of those locations. Not a permanent pump for Broadby. That's not included in that scheme.
Is that a different scheme?
The permanent pump for Broadby.
Yeah.
The discussion that was undertaken at the scrutiny review was about what a solution could be for Broadby, which could be for them to purchase a temporary pump, not a permanent pump, their own pump, which is the type of pump that Councillor Andrews referred to earlier, which would be for dedicated use for Broadby.
Paul.
Yes. Can you confirm the advice that was given by all the authorities at the drainage at the last drainage liaison meeting, which was basically that there was no programme in regard to fundraising for the permanent scheme, and that they didn't know when that programme was going to begin, and even after they got the money, they couldn't give an estimate of how long it would be take from the starting of a development phase to the actual implementation phase to the completion of that implementation phase. Can you please confirm that they were unable to give an answer to that question?
Do you want to answer
from the top table, please?
No, I can't confirm that because I wasn't at the meeting. My understanding from speaking to Becky about the timing on the scheme is that the scheme is still to progress forward. I can't remember the other bit. There was a question. No, I wasn't at the meeting, so no, I can't.
There was no time scale given, Chairman. It could be hundreds of years before.
Can I just, for a point of clarification, though, say that if the point is for this council to fund permanent pumps, they will need to find funding in the region of the funding for that scheme, because that's about permanent pumps, and it's £3 million as a scheme. So is the motion saying put £3 million into permanent pumps?
If you're asking me a question, Chairman, no, it isn't. But I will come back to that when I speak to the motion.
Di.
I was at that at the Land Drainage Liaison Committee meeting. My recollection was not that it's going to be 100 years' time that people are working towards that scheme. There were bids in from this council and from the Environment Agency for funding towards that scheme. And one of the recommendations of this from the scrutiny review, if you look at them, Councillor Andrews, the first one, is towards this council supporting a dedicated officer, effectively a project manager, to move that project forward more quickly, which is what we want to do. Because obviously temporary pumps are great, but they are just that, temporary. And the ongoing problems that we have in Norton, Moulton and Old Moulton need permanent solutions. That's what we should be aiming towards. What I think the recommendations of the scrutiny review are aiming to do is not just to look at Moulton and Norton, Old Moulton and Broadby. They were to look much broader, right across the district, because there are pockets of flooding right across Rydale. And the whole idea was to enable and support those communities to actually come up with schemes that they can work with us, and more importantly with the County Council, so that there is sort of flood alleviation projects that we can support through the grant scheme and through working with the County Council right across the board, so not just focusing on the towns that we have. And I think that was that's the nub of it, really. But I certainly at the land drainage meeting did not get the impression. Yes, we don't know exactly when it's going to happen, but we think that this recommendation, particularly point one, will help that process because, as we're all aware, part of the problem's been with developing permanent solutions is that nobody amongst the responsible bodies has the resource to take the lead. And so we think it needs dedicated support in order to do that and to drive this process forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Ed asked if he could come here tonight to speak. So, Ed, would you like to speak to the committee?
Thank you.
It is questions at the moment.
Yeah. Just my understanding, and there doesn't seem to be anyone at the top that can answer this, but with regard to, it's everybody's hope that these things could go forwards. But at the meeting that Di's referred to, the representative from North Yorkshire County Council said there wasn't even any money to support the 20% that we were proposing to put forward for an officer to progress the thing towards, not completion, but towards the beginning. And so my question would be, can that be confirmed?
Does anyone have an answer to that?
Well, my understanding from the review and also from the work that we've done and the discussions that have happened there, obviously I wasn't at that meeting, so I can't comment on that, was that part of the purpose of this council actually putting some money forward towards that was actually that people don't always actually say what's available at the time when the table is bare, but actually if a percentage goes on and the phrase pump priming has been used for that, then actually it can be quite remarkable how other partners will then come forward to match fund. So I think that was very much the aim of that first recommendation with regard to that. So these positions can change, let's put it that way.
John, do you have a question?
Does anybody know, because it's just been stated the responsible bodies don't have the money, anybody know the profit made by Yorkshire Water in their last published year's account?
Not offhand. Any more questions? Right, in that case I'd like to... The process here is that this committee makes its recommendation to full council on the report from overview and scrutiny. The recommendations which overview and scrutiny have made are on page 103 of your agenda. So when we've moved and seconded those, I'm going to hand a sheet round that has some amendments to those. It doesn't really change it, it just tidies it up a little bit. So I'll move it. Yeah, oh, thank you. Some of the people here have already got them. Of course you can. Yes, as soon as I've handed it out, I will give you time. So if I could move the recommendation and somebody would second it, and then I'm going to move this amendment. Oh, thank you, Luke. Thank you, Luke.
Chairman, I'd just like to declare an interest, please, seeing as Councillor Clark has mentioned Yorkshire Water. I have a business interest in a company that has a commercial relationship with Yorkshire Water. I believe it's a personal, non-prejudicial interest.
Thank you for that.
I hadn't realised or hadn't thought, because there's no mention of North Yorkshire County Council, I ought to declare a personal non-prejudiced interest that I'm a county councillor.
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you. Right, so we'll just take 5 minutes for you to read this.
Just as an afterthought on declarations of interest, do members of the Drainage Board need to declare an interest? Although it's not, we're appointed from this body to that.
We will, just in case. Personal, non-prejudicial. Yeah. Just take 5 minutes then to read that. Tried to make it easy for you by putting the alterations in red. Yeah, okay then, Jim.
So, while members were reading that and looking at three natural flood management, I'd just like to comment or update the council on the Heritage Lottery Fund bid, which was worked up by the North York Moors National Park and the Hawardian Hills A and B, and includes a little bit of the Idell District outside those patches as well. And although that's not specifically flood alleviation, it's a key part in filling in the jigsaw of the wider Derwent catchment, natural flood management, and the HLF bid has been successful. Which was quite surprising, given the time scale that they had to put it in. And this council, of course, will benefit and was a part of that process. And so it just shows that if you do have what we at the National Park Authority would call an external funding officer who concentrates and focuses on a particular thing, it's surprising how you find little bits that can fit into that picture. And I think that although the bid is particularly about water quality, that in effect deals with the very beginnings of natural flood management. Right? It talks about holding water up in agricultural land, forestry, things like that. So the Derwent catchment project is still creeping along, and every little bit that we can find which fills in another space helps gravitate that momentum towards getting other people interested and building up a force for making it happen, a bit like the Deputy Chief Executive said. So it would be nice somewhere in the process if that success was mentioned.
Yes, I think we can manage to do that, Jim. I think you've reinforced the point that Paul made, that finding money to make these schemes happen is one of the most important things, one of the most important jobs.
Yeah, and I think it's £2.5 or £3 million when it comes through, so it's not at all insignificant.
I didn't realise it was quite so much. Well done.
Just to clarify, on the stage one, and that is approved then to work up the bid. And so I think it is acknowledging approval of the bid, but the actual details of what it entails will need to go through a further process.
Chairman, are we? Chairman, is Jim talking about the scheme for the national park area, which is totally different from Moulton and Norton, or does his scheme relate to Moulton and Norton in some way?
Well, in that it's a part of the Greater Derwent Catchment Natural Flood Resources Management, yes, it does, but less directly. If members or councillors are interested, I would have to or indeed this council was a party to that process, and you'd need to have a bit more information about that work stuff, I think.
But it's not the scheme that Arup has put forward for Moulton and Norton.
No, it's not. Thank you, Chair. No. Right, have we all finished reading the amendment then? Lovely. Thank you. Does anybody want to speak on that amendment? John.
Thank you. I'd like to follow on with what Jim was saying on natural flood management. I have a particular problem, well, I don't have it personally, but Sherburn Village does, at the crossroads where the traffic lights are, that every time it rains, a great deal of rain, debris is washed down from the hillside, and grit and debris fills up the drains, blocks the drains, and then we have an overflow of water onto the crossroads there. Huge area of roadway is covered in water at a fair old depth. I don't know why yet, but the people living in the house right next to it have never complained, ever. The highways, North Yorkshire highways, are responsible for the grips up the lane, and very rarely do they go up there and clear them out to make the water coming down on the hard surface have an easy transfer off that hard surface into the roadside, where it can drain away normally and naturally. And thus alleviating a problem at the crossroads further down the hill. Highways are always complaining they haven't got the finance, and Sherburn Parish at the moment are fighting a valiant battle in trying to get them and embarrass them into doing it by taking photographs of the silt that they've actually dug out themselves from the drains and taking pictures of them and sent them into highways. So the more that we can stop water upstream, the less impact it has downstream, hence what Jim's alluding to, and the greater catchment area. And what's been happening above Pickering is an example in kind. The more that you can hold it back further upstream and slow the flow, as we all recognise it as, the less of an impact that water has further down the stream, down the river system. So I'm all for what we're doing here. It's a wonderful piece of work that the Scrutiny Committee have done, so I'd like to commend them on grasping this. And it's been a bit of a nettle, and they might have got stung a time or two, but it's been worth it in my view. Thank you.
Paul.
I am speaking on the amendment, Chairman. I'm not speaking about the main motion. I reserve my right to speak about the main motion. But I have to say, Chairman, I just despair. Grant must not exceed £5,000 or 25% of the total cost. If you're dealing with the flooding situation in Moulton or Norton, where does that get you to? Grants of up to £1,000, maybe 100%. Not will be, but maybe 100%. So if you want to do a little bit of tinkering, we might get a little bit of money. But quite honestly, Chairman, this is not good enough. Where is a town council like Moulton Town Council going to get the match funding to deal with all of this? Where is a little parish like Broby going to have the resources to deal with bids of this kind? And how can they be expected to afford to pay for what's required? As far as I'm concerned, Chairman, the motion itself is bad enough, but the restrictions on providing grant monies for things that could be done are absolutely ridiculous. It should be possible for Moulton or Norton to come forward with a scheme and ask to be totally funded from that £50,000, not to have a small share, and not to be bothered about finding so much match funding from here, there, and everywhere, Chairman. Could I remind this committee flooding is a serious issue for Moulton and Norton. Not only is it a serious issue, it is the main place where flooding happens. Broadby is another such place, and to treat us in this way is absolutely deplorable.
I'd just like to remind you, Paul, that you're speaking to somebody whose property does flood, so don't try and tell me how serious it is.
As I've mentioned many, many times, when Pickering came to be flooded, and when everybody else was calling for a massive £7 million scheme and they wouldn't move from it, I was one of those who said, oh no, there's a much simpler scheme than this, let's keep the money back for that. You were at that meeting when I said that, and I have done them at the very most for Pickering, and I would ask you, Chairman, to reciprocate for Moulton.
Luke, I believe you were next.
Council Andrews says that he despairs, but I despair at Council Andrews' comments. First of all, I welcome this report from the scrutiny. I appreciate quite a lot of work has gone into it, so I thank the chairman of the scrutiny committee for the time that she and her committee have put into this. I also welcome these recommendations. So, what we are saying is that as a council we will be putting £50,000 into a community grant fund whereby applications can be made for flood schemes. That's something which we've not done before, and we're doing as a result of this report, and it's made possible by the saving which this council has done. Councillor Andrews seems to know how to spend money, but he doesn't seem to know how to save it, and he lives in this fantasy world where money grows on trees and Rydal District Council should pay for absolutely everything. He lives in his own little bubble. Now, I also ask him to take note of what this amendment is actually doing. It states, in certain circumstances, the above criteria may be wavered if it is felt that an application may be of exceptional benefit for the community. So that provision means that if there are certain schemes which come forward, which would be hugely beneficial for the community, but due to the uniqueness of the scheme means that it is not able to attract alternative sources of funding, then it can still receive funding up to 100% from this grant. But we, as a council, appreciate we are not an island. There are many other public bodies with much bigger budgets than Rydal District Council who should be putting their hands in the pockets and actually funding these schemes, and it should not always be Rydal District Council, despite what Councillor Andrews thinks. And what I will also say is that we are Rydal District Council and represent all residents within the district, not just the people of Moulton and Norton. And I say that as a Norton councillor, because the money that this council receives is a benefit for everyone, and it would be very parochial if I was to say it should only be spent in my ward. If everyone had the attitude of that, nothing could ever get done, because everyone would be arguing over how it could be spent. But we are moving forward, we are getting stuff done, we're spending £50,000 on a grant, we're saying that we will consider further grants towards a £1.8 million scheme in Moulton, Norton and Old Moulton. That's huge commitment. And it, once again, I emphasise, it's made possible by the fact we've saved the new Hearn's Burnace, which you didn't want to do, so I'm sure if Councillor Andrews was in charge of this council, there would be no money to spend, despite the fact he thinks it's on a growing tree. And I just absolutely despair that we're moving forward and all Councillor Andrews wants to do is try to create problems. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Would someone else like to speak? John.
Thank you, Chair. Have we moved the amendment? No. Okay, that's fine. So we're talking on the original proposal at the moment. Okay.
No, we're on the amendment.
So have we moved the amendment?
We are speaking, yes. Luke seconded it, right. And we are speaking on the amendment.
Purely on the amendment is definitely an improvement on the original wording. But it still loses out, and the whole report still loses out on what the problem is and where the money is. There was a quest for pumps, and they're not mentioned. There is sewage in Broby, and I suspect that is the responsibility of Yorkshire Water. There is no telling in here Yorkshire Water saying to North Yorkshire County Council, you are responsible for flooding, what are you intending to do about it? There is nothing in here that says you are Yorkshire Water, you are responsible for sewage and keeping it in your pipes, what are you going to do about it? Nothing. None of these proposals actually produce pumps unless somebody can get, in most cases, large amounts of money from somebody else. Right. Now, the logic in here of working collaboratively, because it's fine if we had an input in the background papers from what North Yorkshire was going to do. It would be fine if Yorkshire Water was, or the Environment Agency was going to put in 500,000 million, whatever else it is. And we're talking those sort of size of numbers across the whole of Rydale. I don't think that flooding in the general run is a small scale, and there are cases where this will fit perfectly. But we haven't done anything about Broby. We've had old Moulton, I'm trying to use words that couldn't be taken two ways at this point. Moulton will have flooding problems unless we do something. And part of that may well be in the long term is because we've done the solution. And what impact the other side of the road's going to have, we don't know. But why is this taken? Well, the previous speaker wasn't timed at all, Chair, so I will take a few seconds more, but not many. Chair, very, very, very simply, this came to Council asking for pumps. Not no more, not no less, on the 14th of January 2016. We had a timescale for this to be finished at the Scrutiny Committee by June, and here we are, coming back with it to full council in December. Could we have some sort of an explanation? And thank you for the extra seconds.
Welcome. I've heard you say two or three times tonight, John, that what the original motion was a request for pumps. Yes, it was. And this is Overview and Scrutiny's response to that request for pumps. Yeah, it was a request for permanent pumps, and this is their response. I think it is covered if you look at the first part of the recommendation, number one, we're proposing £12,000 for a project officer to help deliver the Moulton, Norton and Old Moulton flood study, which, Di, you've already said all this, I'm just repeating what you've said. And we are just part of the solution. If you look on page 107 of the report, the responsible authorities are identified. There is a £3 million scheme, and we could spend every penny that this authority has on delivering that scheme.
I'm not suggesting we do. I'm suggesting possibly even less.
Now, I'm not saying that the motion suggests that we do. This is the response that your Overview and Scrutiny Committee have come up with. It's a cross-party committee. There's nothing political about this at all. That is the recommendation that Overview and Scrutiny feels that this council can do to help with the flooding in Rydale. The whole of Rydale. Did I have somebody else before you, Di? I've lost my list. Was it Ed?
Yeah, most of what I've got, I'm not used to this committee and the way that the amendments and whatnot go. But I have to say, as far as this is concerned, the scope of what's contained in here is very, very different or what would be drawn out from here. The scope is for the small communities is very different to what would be required for Moulton and Norton, however you look at it. And I will speak about that more in the motion. Some of the things that are taken into here, actually, I was going to speak about what you've covered with the item about the full allocation of monies up to 1,000. We talked about that at the scrutiny committee, but it didn't. I was surprised it hadn't actually come out in the main initial report. But I do think that this covers small regions, but it certainly doesn't cover, and it shouldn't be expected to cover the requirements of places like Moulton, Norton, Old Moulton, which have got massive users other than the local community. The main roads go through, but I'll wait and speak about that later.
Thank you. Di?
Yes, it was just a point of information to Councillor Clark asking why it's taken so long to produce this report. The reason being that the scrutiny committee hasn't just been looking at this one report, as you're aware. We've also been doing the review into the council assets. So we've had a huge workload, which has led to these delays. And also because we're working right across the board with all the different partners that were involved in this process, that also has necessitated some delays in getting people around the table to discuss things. So, yes, it's probably taken longer than all of us had wished, but I think the end result is a good solution for Rydale.
John, did you want to speak? And then we'll move to the vote on the amendment.
Just quickly, Chairman. If we look like we're putting our hand in our pocket and providing a funding solution, even if it's a limited sum, it's not a huge sum, the embarrassment value for Environment Agency, North Yorkshire, Yorkshire Water and everybody else that has an interest in preventing or supposed to have an interest in preventing flooding just might make them sit up and take some notice. Excuse me while I'm speaking, please don't interrupt, please. Throwing me off. The people are required statutorily to actually do the work in preventing flooding in places like Broby and in Moulton Norton are not doing so because they're saying that they're running out of money. If we go and put a pot on the table with full of some pound notes or pound coins even today, sorry for going old school, then I'm thinking that they might actually go and say, right, well, we've got a pot of money, we'll put that in. It's not a lot. But a lot of people put a little bit in, suddenly adds up to a large sum of money that actually makes the thing worthwhile and becomes doable. Look what happened at Pickering. It was a £3 million scheme that didn't get anywhere near £3 million to actually furnish and become a successful scheme in the finish. And I'm looking at that scenario can be repeated more successfully in other locations with a bit of ducking and diving. And we need to duck and dive these days. We can't do it as we used to do it years ago. Thank you.
Sorry, it's a delay thing. I think the question is, does the recommendation make clear that notwithstanding the fact that this is the responsibility of others, the council is still prepared to contribute? It might be useful just to underline the fact that it is the statutory responsibility of others.
It's in the report on page 107 and 108 that is dealt with, so I can't say I'm worried about that. So, right, could we move to the vote now on the amendment? And I'm sorry, Nikki, but I've scribbled all over the signed copy of the amendment.
Chairman, that's 8 votes for the amendment and 1 against.
Yep, that's fine, Paul. Right, thank you very much. Now, the recommendation as amended now becomes the substantive motion. I think we've had quite a good discussion on this. So does anybody mind if we move straight to the... Yeah, you did, actually, yes. Mm. Right, so who had their hand up first? Ed.
Into the lion's den. Thank you very much for allowing me to speak tonight. My general view is that this report is really good. It brings together several aspects of flood concern together, that brings them all together and broadly sets out the problems associated with coordinating multiple agencies, especially when these agencies clearly don't wish to progress solutions. We spoke to several of the agencies on more than one occasion, Yorkshire Water, the Environment Agency, the Drainage Agency, and generally speaking, the response was, well, that's not really my bit of the problem. I'm sure Claire would agree with that. It doesn't leave us really very much further forwards. Having said that, I think this is a good report. I can't deny that I'm disappointed that the report doesn't actually direct the motion put forward and all the problems of Moulton, Old Moulton, Broby, etc. Leaving all these things aside, I'd like to raise a couple of concerns. You've already answered the third one, which is the allocation of full amounts of money to small projects. As we've already mentioned, all of the recommendations around the all of the recommendations around this £50,000 allocation is geared around the idea of community resilience, and examples offered include Thorntonadale, Hovingham, and others that have already happened. But I'd question whether this is appropriate for the major towns of Moulton and Norton, with upwards of 13,000 people. Even at the 2011 census, and I presume that that's gone up by now and is forecast to go up a great deal more. And the fact that we've got major crossings between the regions north and south of the River Derwent, and we've got a major road through Old Moulton where Moulton's and the regions south are connected to Pickering and further north, it just doesn't seem right that we're looking at community resilience, a community resilience scheme for such major problems. Right, this report could be seen to effectively sideline members of the District Council from this process. The primary movers mentioned in the report are seen to be the parish and town councils, and a secondary group being any other fully constituted community group. I'm sure that this is an oversight. I can't even believe that Dai would want that to be the case. I'll leave it at that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ed. Paul?
Yes, Chairman. First of all, it would help if members of this council would not take a political view on this. It should be known that I was only speaking about the £50,000 that was actually on the table, but of course Councillor Ives couldn't help himself but accused me of doing things which I wasn't doing. Never mind. Can I just remind you, Chairman, about the way this came about? Moulton and Norton have had serious flooding. We've had serious flooding for years, and it always turns up at the same place. There is a drainage liaison group, and the drainage liaison group meets four times a year, and it considers the whole of Rydale. The scrutiny committee was asked to talk about Moulton and Norton, but no, it considered the whole of Rydale. It duplicated the job of the drainage liaison group. We asked for pumps for clear and specific reasons. Yes, there was a scheme of £3 million. We know what happens to these big schemes of X million pounds, don't we, Chairman? We know what happened in Pickering. A scheme for £7 million came forward. It fell, by the way, because of cost-benefit rules. Money wasn't provided by anybody. And then, by chance, Fortunately, we've kept £1 million in our account, and we use that, and we use that £1 million to prime pump the slow flow process, which actually originated from local people. It didn't actually originate from consultants at all. It is now praised, and now all the consultants are learning from what the council did. Councillor Raper says rightly that you can start, that you can have grand projects and then you can change to smaller projects. Well, this is exactly what we were talking about. We're saying rather than look at a huge scheme that's going to cost £3 million, which is jammed tomorrow and which we may get in 10 years, 50 years or even 100 years' time if we're really lucky, instead of looking at that, we look at something that we could have next year. And that would be a pumping station. That would be a pumping station with a number of permanent pumps. Instead of that, what we get is a scheme for £50,000. I don't query the figure of £50,000 because, quite honestly, Chairman, again, you've allowed other people to go over, so I think I can go over on this one. You have allowed schemes for £7 million. They come down to you can do them for much less, and they become affordable. You give £50,000 away. It can only be used for small schemes. None of them would actually fund any pumps for Moulton and Norton. So what you've done, Chairman, in fact, is by pretending that you're providing something, you've actually negated the motion that was put forward. You might just as well have voted against the motion that Lindsay and I put forward in the first place. And quite honestly, Chairman, I am very disappointed, and I do hope that this committee, the members of this committee, will forget the politics of all these issues, will forget who we are, which political persuasion we belong to, and will think in terms of helping Moulton and Norton. Moulton and Norton has taken an enormous amount of development which the people of Moulton and Norton did not want. Yes, we are asking for money to be spent on Moulton and Norton. We have good reason to be asking for money to be spent on Moulton and Norton. If you're going to build masses of development, then we need the infrastructure. The infrastructure is needed to take away the flooding risk. It's needed for many other reasons as well. So would you please, when you come to full council, would you please reconsider the way you have probably been instructed to vote tonight?
Nobody's instructed anybody how they vote tonight, John. Paul, you're getting a bit paranoid. Now, if I could just refer you back to the start of this meeting, when we looked at community grant schemes, there are schemes in there which we've given £5,000 to, and they're actually a £42,000 scheme. So giving a little shows exactly what can be achieved. And don't tell me that these small communities can't do it, because they can.
The small communities might be able to do all sorts of things, but this resolution will not help Moulton and Norton very much at all. And you know that very well, Chairman.
It will. Di.
Thank you, Chairman. I'd like to reiterate several things, really, that I've already said, but I'm going to say them again because I don't think some people are listening. The Overview and Scrutiny Committee is not a political committee. I am not playing politics, and I don't believe that anybody else on that committee is either. People are working on that community to provide a good solution for flooding for people in Moulton, Norton, Old Moulton, Broby, right across the district. And I really take offence at some of the comments that have been made. Going back to what you said, Ed, I really don't understand what you meant about being surprised that I'd taken this view. Because if you actually look at that original motion, it was asking for permanent pumps. Permanent pumping station at Old Moulton, Moulton and Norton. A, it probably wouldn't work very well in Malton. In Norton it would, and in Old Malton it would, but this council cannot afford. Because if you actually look at the Malton-Norton scheme that has been worked up by Arup, you're talking several millions, and this council cannot afford to do that. If you want to go down the route of having temporary pumps for Malton, Norton and Old Malton, then those parishes can put some money into that and they can look for grants from elsewhere to be match funded by this council in order to do that. But it's quite obvious when I said right at the start of this meeting that we had 22 pumps in the towns over Christmas last year, that another pump in both all three of those communities would not make a lot of difference. Similarly with Broby could look at buying their own pump, putting some money into it from the parish and coming to this council for money towards that by way of a grant. I'm quite frustrated by the way people are picking at this, because the committee worked really hard to come up with a solution that would help lots of communities. And I really find it quite insulting that people think that I would support something that was not beneficial to people that have been flooded. I've been flooded several times myself, and I still suffer from sewage flooding in Norton. So I'm working very hard for the community, not just on the scrutiny review, but outside of it, to find solutions. But it's just not a practical solution that was presented by that original motion, because the cost involved to this council would have been huge. So I think what we've come up with is a very sensible way forward. We've already heard that Rydal does not have a statutory responsibility to do flood work. It's the county council is the lead authority. Well, we have always worked really hard with the county, and we've worked really hard with our community every time we get flooded. At huge expense, actually, personally, to the officers who worked all through the summer, all through the Christmas period last year, to help people who were at risk of flooding. We've always done that, and this is another attempt to pump prime a project manager to take the bigger scheme forward, which is what we actually do need. And I also take some offence to the statement that the Environment Agency and people don't want to move the big scheme forward. I actually do generally think they do. But like everybody else, they have problems finding funding. But to repeat, they have a bid in for to fill the match funding, the gap we have, as does Rydal. So, you know, they do actually want to deliver that scheme. And yes, it might take longer than you know, we would all like it to. But just throwing money from this council to try and help Malton, Norton and Old Malton is not sufficient. So, sorry, I've ranted a bit.
John, I'm sorry, I missed you, John, and it's you next and then Luke.
Thank you, Chair. I'll try and save some of the time that you kindly gave me last time. Maybe it would be better if the overview and scrutiny was a political committee, because I think it's saying all sorts of things here that it's and been said tonight that it hasn't done in this motion. And some of the examples are, there's no reference to the original motion in this. And if the pumps is, we'll be able to supply you from pumps and this is how we'll do it, then that's fine. And if the answer is no, we can't have pumps because they're too dear, that should be down here, and it's not. Or in the case, and I quote here, Broby could look at buying their own pump. Now, that may be the solution, but it doesn't say it here. There is no reference in this. Yes, we voted for the amendment, but it still doesn't take that. There's no reference to Yorkshire Water. Yorkshire Water is allowing sewage to go into places, not just Broadby, Pickering as well. And 300 million profit, and not anything from in this motion saying Yorkshire Water should cough up and do something, and that should be said publicly. The same should be said to North Yorkshire County Council. It is the flood authority. This council should be saying loud and clear that you lot are not doing, for whatever reasons, what you should be doing. And that doesn't come across from this. I won't move an amendment tonight. It needs to go back to our group. We've got the amendment that we've approved tonight. We'll go back to our group. We may amend it at full council, or they may say, no, we'll leave it as it is. But in the interest of time, Thank you very much, Chair. But we will not be voting. We'll be voting against this as it stands, but we still think it can be amended to pick up a lot of the things that have been said, trying to make it work. Thank you, Chair.
I'd be very grateful if you wouldn't mind discussing any amendment for full council, because it would be really nice to get this through full council with agreement on all parties.
Our amendments at full council are usually welcomed, particularly by the controlling group, with such enthusiasm. I may or may not do that.
It's important to the whole of the district, John. It would be nice if you could.
So
Luke.
Luke.
Councillor Andrews stated that this recommendation will not help Moulton and Norton. I beg to differ. Point one of this recommendation states that funding of £12,000 will be delivered to help resource a project to manage the progress delivery of the Moulton and Norton and Old Moulton Flood Study Project. Is that helping Moulton and Norton and Old Moulton? I think it is. How about the point number two? RDC commits £2,500 towards CCTV monitoring in Old Moulton. What town is that going towards? Is it Moulton? Is it Council Andrews ward? Point number four. RDC allocates £50,000 to a grant fund to support local flood solutions. If you carry on, it states, including Moulton and Borbury. We've missed out Norton, obviously, but out of the many, many towns and villages in Rydale, it states specifically two areas. Moving on. Number six states that this council will consider allocating funding towards the £1.8 million scheme, in which place? Moulton, Norton and Old Moulton. Now, let's do a word count of how many times Moulton, Norton and Old Moulton are mentioned in this compared to the many other town and villages in Rydale. Let's also do a comparison of where the funds are being spent. What is really frustrating for me as one of the affected ward members is that every time Councillor Andrews hammers on about Moulton and makes out they are being mistreated, it is counterproductive because it creates resentment among other members of this council towards the town, and you give us a bad name. Thank you.
John.
Unfortunately, I'm going to follow on from what Councillor Andrews was saying. We are Rydale District Council, and I emphasise the word district. We are here for the whole of the district. The mobile element to the solution proposed is key. These pumps could be used anywhere. Floods occur all over the place at different times for different reasonings. And we don't know where they're going to be required next or for how long or how many we're going to need. So there's been a guesstimate, I would assume, of what we actually require numerically to service that requirement or that perceived requirement. It's a solution that probably will, on some occasion, be inadequate, unfortunately, because the weather is as it is. The weather's always been as it is, and there's nothing we can do about that. We can't control it. As such, and God help us if we could. But the thing is, we are Rydale District. This is a district-wide solution. But as Councillor Ives has stated, quite a number of times, the local major town has been mentioned a number of times. It's heavily biased towards Moulton Norton. Broby has a problem. It's a unique problem. And I think that the statutory bodies that serve Broby are letting down Broby. And yes, I could agree with Councillor Clark that we could probably put some criticisms at the end of this as a footnote on those statutory bodies for lacking in doing their statutory duties. And I would certainly support such a move. Thank you, Chairman.
Now, I can't remember whether I moved and asked for a seconder of the substantive motion, so I'm going to move it again. Did I? Oh, thank you, Nikki. Thank goodness you've got... Are we? You know more about it than me, clearly. So can we, please?
Chairman, that's 5 votes for and 3 against a substantive motion.
Thank you very much. So that will be the recommendation that will go to full council from this committee. Right, we have just a couple more items. The next item is the timetable of meetings. Does anybody have any questions about the timetable of meetings? Can't see what the recommendation is because my iPad has decided it doesn't like my passcode anymore.
at this point every year I ask, because I don't know, the town council's dates, because we've missed those in previous years, and there are two of us on the CAB in relation to the Wednesday night development meetings. There's two or three there that we need to check. So the CAB is one, and the parish and town councils, particularly the town councils, because that, you know, can pull out two or three people. And if we have checked them, then that's fine.
Well, I can't say for certain that we have checked them. What I will say to you tonight is
your head is nodding next to you.
Sorry, is it? So I think there's a bit of work probably to be done from quite a few members on this before, and probably we'll have a discussion again at full council, because I will give you full warning now that I am going to move an amendment to bring meetings forward to 4 o'clock, and I'm not moving it tonight because I think there are some more amendments to make. There are a number of days when we've got meetings back to back, and that causes some problems for members, so I want to have a look at the timetable and see if we can move some of the meetings. It's particularly around member development, so I'll probably be sending some messages around about that, if that's okay, and so then if we can deal with this at full council. Are you happy to do that?
Just one comment, Chair.
Yeah.
I'm perfectly aware of the Tory party's ability to jump up and down on working people, and on that basis I can't see anything as to why this would not be discriminating against people who have got a job, work, that if they finish at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, depending where they finish, can be a rush. 6:30 is a compromise between there and 7. 4 o'clock is saying to people, you can't be on Rydale District Council. Now, that might be absolutely fine if we announce it in clear, large, big letters and lots of trumpets for the district elections in 2.5 years' time. It is grossly unfair on those of us who've got a work plan that is working on a basis of evening meetings at 6:30, with the exception of planning at 6 o'clock. To change that in mid-cycle is just those who are retired or well off or self-employed, etc., and who can change their hours, saying to those that are employed, on your bikes, boys and girls. But we can discuss it at full council, Chair.
Yeah. I'm not going to go over my arguments tonight, John, and I'll put my point of view at full council.
And I would say, can I just say, Chairman, that applies, that equally applies to those of us who are old enough not to have to work. That sort of resolution discriminates against young people. It stops young people from wanting to take an interest in politics. And if this country wants to be democratic and wants to get young people involved in politics, you are going the wrong way.
We'll talk about it at full council. Luke.
Suffice to say, I will be very much against any proposal to change the meeting times, because it would prevent me from always being able to attend the attend meetings, and I think it would be lost to this council if only people who did not work in the daytime were able to become members of this authority. When I decided to stand for election again, it was on the premise that meetings were in the daytime. To change that midterm is without going through another election, to me, is hugely unfair, and actually maybe contrary to the Equalities Act of 2010, because this proposal disproportionately disadvantages those of working age, i.e. those with a younger age. Now, that is something to consider. It may be that as a person who is being discriminated against, I could take up legal action against this council if it were to go through. And if you actually read the Equalities Act, it is quite wide-ranging. It does include provisions on indirect discrimination, and I think it's something that this council needs to seriously consider. And I will say that changing meetings will have a huge fallout, and when there is so much for this council to get on and do, once again we are going to waste a huge amount of energy concentrating on what will be a navel-gazing issue, because I imagine the fallout from this could be quite huge.
I'm sure we can check out the Equalities Act before full council.
Well, it's a matter of great relief to me, Chairman, that at last I can find something that I can agree on with Mr. Councillor.
So perhaps the way we...
How do you manage to go to council?
Changed your mind. So I think in order to deal with this, what we need to do is move the recommendation, second it, and just send it on to full council. Is that okay? Mm. Right? So I'll move it. Will someone second it? Then can we vote on it? The recommendation that's in your papers, as it stands. And we'll have the discussion at full council.
That's unanimous, Chairman.
Yeah. I have no urgent business. So that will close the meeting now. Thank you very much.
That's an urgent when people can become to councillors, don't
they? Yes.
Yeah,
10 o'clock. Mm. I think.